Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thinking this to himself, Sudama finally came to the place where his home stood. But that place was now crowded on all sides with towering celestial palaces, rising with lion, brilliant the sun, fire, and the moon. There were splendorous courtyards and gardens, each filled with flocks of queen birds and beautiful bipons, in which Kumuda, Ambuja, Kalara, Utpala roses grew. Finally, a hired man and doe-eyed demon stood in attendance. Sudama wondered, what is all this? Whose trouble is it? How has this all come about? Purport. Srila Srila Goswami says, the sequence of the Brahmana's thoughts, first, seeing a great unfamiliar effulgence, he thought, what is this? Then, only the palaces, he asked himself, whose place is this? And recognizing it as his own, he finally wondered, how has it become so transformed? So we're now in chapter 10, canto 10, chapter 81. And this chapter is the Lord blesses Sudama Brahmana. As you all know, I'm sure you've been reading about Sudama already, and Sudama's story, everybody knows about Sudama, and it's interesting pastime with the Lord. So here, in this sequence, what's happening is after having met Lord Krishna and in Dwarka, he's coming back on his way. He's actually talking to himself. You know, it's like a confused Brahmana. In the South India, there is a saying that, you know, when somebody is talking to himself and a bit confused, they'll say, oh, you're like a Brahmana who's talking to himself. Because they find that Brahmanas tend to talk to themselves. Actually, they're talking, blaming towards God, what's happening and why you're not doing this or whatever. Likewise, Sudama was talking to himself, you know, when he's thinking, why, you know, oh, you're still remembering me. But wait a minute, you know, I never asked you for wealth and you never gave me any wealth. Then why, you know, I mean, you're my friend, but anyway, I know why, you know, you know everything. Probably knew that if you give me wealth, then I'll get intoxicated, then I'll forget you. So Krishna, you know, that's why, you're saving me, that's why you never gave me wealth. So he was lamenting like this, and suddenly he comes now in this particular verse, he's saying that the whole place has been transformed. So many things are going on. He couldn't even recognize his own wife and children. They are looking like as if they were from the heavenly planets. And so, who is this Sudama? Sudama was a special friend of Krishna. I'm not going to tell you the things that you already know. Of course, some of you know what I'm talking about. So Sudama was a special friend. He was in the Gurukul itself, when they were students in the Sandipani Muni's ashram. Sudama was supposed to be, you know, the expert Brahmin who can recite slokas, mantras very well. And so he used to coach Krishna with the sloka lessons. You know, at night he would sit and coach Krishna. And apart from that, there was once when Krishna and Sudama both had gone in the evening to collect firewood for Sandipani Muni. And then the usual happened, there was a dark and stormy night. Suddenly it started raining and Sudama was so frightened and it became so dark. And Krishna of course protected him, covered him and said not to worry. And they spent the whole night in the rain. And of course what they did was they collected the firewood, they made sure that the firewood was all kept dry, they put it in a nice place. But they themselves were fully wet. And early morning, Sandipani Muni is missing these two boys and is coming, searching for them. Sudama, Krishna, Sudama, where are you? And finally, he sees these two boys huddled together. And of course, Sandipani Muni is very, very appreciative of their Guru Bhakti. You know, that's appreciates it and also blesses them that you'll be great and all that kind of thing. Anyway, that's one more pastime with Sudama. But most interesting, we all know about the lifting of Govardhan Hill. And when Lord Krishna was lifting this hill with his left hand, he held the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. And some of his friends were telling him, on the seventh day they were telling him, told Krishna, lift it from your left to your right. Your hand must be tired. So lift it to your right left with the right hand, so that we can massage your left. You see? I mean, their nature, their friends were so, they were, you know, so engrossed in their friendship. And even one suggested, I think, Krishna, why don't you give it to Sudama? Let him hold the golden thing. And Sudama got, he got ready. He got ready immediately that he can handle it. But such was the pure love of this, this Gopas for their Lord, who they considered as their friend. Now, somebody might say, you know, why is this? You know, you say Krishna is God, is going picking up sticks, and then you tell this far-fetched story about holding a hill for 7 days. These days we can't even keep our suit bags, you know, we can't carry our suitcase for 7 minutes. And we're already complaining, and can somebody hold it, please? I mean, Mataji's hand over the handbags to you, you're not careful. Just can you hold it, and they give you the handbags first, and then they can see or something. So, it is so difficult to hold anything for a long time. How, and you come and give us the small stories about a small boy lifting, and then you call God. God is speaking, my old God is, I mean, this is crazy. If a Muslim was to sit here and listen to this, probably throw a bomb at my head. Why are you ridiculing God? Something wrong with you. How can you ridicule God? Now, first on philosophy. So what's really happening? Atik Chit Ishvara, which means the philosophy is matter. Atik is matter. Chit is spirit. And Ishvara is controller. Now these three things, in every philosophy, these three things must be there. If you have a philosophy, okay, what is Atik? Chit is matter, okay, material nature, material world. Chit, the living entity, you and I, you say, not really you and I, the birds and the bees too. They are also chit. And then, the super spirit, the supreme spirit, God, that's Ishvara, the controller. Now the three entities must be there. In any philosophy, according to the Vedic tradition, all three entities must be there. If you have a philosophy without one of them, that is not considered philosophy. For instance, Jainism and Buddhism, they do not talk about the controller. Ishvara is not there. They talk about matter and spirit and how we have law of karma, samskara and all that, samsara, repeated births and all that. But as far as controller is concerned, they negate it. They don't want to talk about it. There's nothing there. And because of that, the Vedic tradition rejects Buddhism and Jainism as Gnostic. Astic and Gnostic. They reject it. They say, no, it's not philosophy. If that is so for Buddhism and Jainism, so for Western philosophy, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, Pythagoras, all of this just, I mean, just, in fact, Prabhupada just brushes them aside. There is no philosophy. Western philosophy, that's not philosophy. Just one slide. Because they talk about mathematics, they talk about science, they talk about so many religions, of course. But they don't talk, the three entities are not there. And then we get modern day, what do you call philosophers all the time. For instance, you know, the Beatles at one time they were so famous, John Lennon was so popular, and he had his own philosophy. I still remember there was a song he wrote about imagine. And imagine there is no heaven above. Imagine there is no hell below. Imagine there are no countries. Imagine there is no religion. Imagine. What he was saying was, if all this was not there, the world would become very peaceful. Actually, the world would be nasty. But he was thinking it would be a peaceful enough. Yeah, there will be some disturbance, but everything will be peaceful. That's what his idea was. But that's not true. There will never be a peaceful anarchy. There will be anarchy. There cannot be peaceful anarchy. In fact, they even shot him. So much for his philosophy. They killed him. And Prabhupada says, philosophy can only come out of Brahmins, Vaishnava Brahmins especially. Sudras cannot come out of philosophy. They can't, because they do not understand it. They have got something, but they have not understood the scope of it. So, artists, singers and actors and all these people, yeah, they are all right, but when they speak philosophy, we can't accept it, because artists are us. Richard Gere, or Gere, whatever you call him, he says, when he talks about the Dalai Lama, the world's most peaceful man on earth, that's how he projects the Dalai Lama. No offense to Dalai Lama, but you don't know what he is. You know, he loves everything on earth, on his plate. People don't know that. He loves steak, he loves seafood, he loves chicken, he loves everything. And then they go and project him as the most peaceful man on earth. I mean, again, I'm not trying to belittle him or anything like that. But the concept, people don't know this. And a whole lot of Westerners now, especially because some of the actors are involved in this. In America especially, there's a lot of excitement about Buddhism. But they are not understanding what is their philosophy. Now, having said that, this philosophy has got this three components. And what is these three components, how is expressed? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. We have to understand it in the three ways, which is known as Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha. Sambandha Jnana, Abhideya Jnana and Prayojana Jnana. Now what are the three things? This is actually that we have a relationship with the Lord and we have forgotten this relationship. So Sambandha is understanding the relationship which you have with God. Now before I should have said that, I should have actually said, what a philosophy, that means your chip, that is matter, spirit and controller. Now you have to understand how to behave with spirit, how to behave with controller, and how to behave with matter. Isn't it? The three components. What is the relationship with the three components? What is matter to God? What are you to God? What are you to matter? Like that, you have to understand the relationship with the three components. That is what is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha is relationship. Abhideya is revival of this relationship. And Prayojana is a result of this revival. We have forgotten our eternal relationship with Krishna. We are struggling hard in this material world. We are making our own friends. We are doing so many things. We are happy sometimes, but suddenly things don't work the way we want work. And then we are very depressed. And then what happens? We join Hare Krishna. That is good. But after having come to Hare Krishna, you shouldn't have doubts about all this. This is the place where you clear all your doubts. Not after you, I am joining Hare Krishna. Before that I was happy. Now I'm very sad. You know, some people don't know. Before that I was okay, Prabhu. Now after coming to Hare Krishna, don't worry. The cleaning process will take some time, but you'll be alright. But the point again is, what is Sambandha? We have forgotten our relationship. Sambandha, so it is explained that Bhakti Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha. The relationship with Krishna. It is not your relationship with your next door neighbor. That's not important. It's not even important your relationship with your husband or wife. This relationship is not important. That's not going to save you. Your relationship with Krishna, that's most important. It's Krishna Sambandha and Bhakti Abhideya. And how do you revive this relationship? Revival of this relationship is by performing bhakti. Now you have understood. Somebody tells you, you're eternally Krishna. And then, really? Okay, try bhakti. If you try bhakti, you'll understand the relationship. The revival of the relationship is by the process of bhakti. And what is the result of this practice? Abhideya is prema prayojana. The result is prema. You get pure love of God. You get pure love of Krishna. That is the result. And when you come to that stage, of course, you will understand everything and you will be in a very, very peaceful, happy situation. Now that you have understood relationship, now you see how we are trying to say, Now this is a very important aspect, because this particular relationship that we are talking about is not there in any other religion. Now before we come to comparative about other religions and, you know, what the Vedic philosophy says, we'll understand a little bit more about relationships, as that's the most important thing here. So there was a relationship between Sudama and Krishna. So what is this relationship? Five different kinds of relationships, or five primary relationships, the direct relationship, have been explained. Most of this is then found in Nectar Devotion, Bhaktira Padma Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. Now the first one is neutrality or shankara. Sometimes people think the neutrality, a person who's neutral is somebody who's an atheist or agnostic, or somebody who gives you a donation when you go around town, or who buys a book. I mean, he gives you money and takes the book. That's not shankara. That is not neutrality. Neutrality means he's a transcendentalist. He's already a spiritual person. That means he's practicing sacrifice, meditation, penance, and he's doing all that kind of thing. And on top of it all, is also sense control. He's a very sense controlled person. But the only thing is, he is quite fixed with this impersonal Brahma. He's very, very attracted by this Brahma Jyoti, and he's very happy about that. He's very happy, but he's there. Now, so we have to understand that is a neutral person or a shankara. Now, that person who gets his pleasure by realizing the impersonal Brahman, but associating with pure devotees, then what happens is, then you'll appreciate the form of Vishnu or Krishna. All he needs is a little bit of fine tuning, and he will get it. Now, the famous example is the four Kumaras, Sananda, Sanatana, Sanatana, Sana, known as the Chatusana, the four Kumaras. They, when they went to the gates of Vaikuntha, and they had this problem with Janaka, and after that, when the gates opened, they got a whiff. There was a blowing, the aroma of tulsi and saffron from Lord Krishna's body. And when those four boys, when they got the smell of the tulsi and saffron, and they became attracted to the form of Vishnu. This is smellable. After the more details are there, you can read it there. Now the other one is, second one is dasya, servitude. We all know that. That's what we all are trying to do. That's why we all are called dasas and dasis. Now servitude is persons who are attracted. They could be attracted by anything. They could be attracted by Krishna's form, deity. They could be attracted by his pastimes. They could be attracted by devotees. In Malaysia, many devotees came to the Krishna conscious moment just looking at other devotees. Mostly. They look at devotees and they see devotees and, what is this? I was dreaming, you know, something like this. And they have all kinds of stories. And then, you know, they get very attracted. Devotees attract devotees. And of course, philosophy. I love the philosophy. I was very attracted to the philosophy. And even the charm. So there are, of course, more people attracted to prasadam than philosophy. That's why you see in the Bhagavatam class there are less people, but you know, the prasadam hall will be packed later on. That's okay, that's alright. I'm just saying that it is just that we are attracted. Once we are attracted one day, then what happens is we want to serve. He comes and takes prasadam, and then what does he do? Prabhu, can I help in the kitchen? Because he knows if I can serve, then you know, this thing can continue. So like that, we all get attracted. That's the servitude attitude. Next comes, in the category of service, of course the most important, I just like to mention a few people in Krishna's pastime. There is Uddhava, Satyaki and Dharaka. All these people are very, very close with Krishna, and they were just at the back and forth of Krishna, they were ready to do anything and everything. Then we have Sakya, fraternity, which is friendship. And it's where this relationship, Sudama and Krishna, there is in the state of, in Sakya. You know, in the Sakya, they were also categories. They were known as Shakas. Shakas, when Krishna was small, he had some friends who were younger than him. And these boys were younger than him. And they were small, all they knew was Krishna, you know, they wanted to be with him and, you know, they were not conniving, they didn't know anything. But they just fixed with Krishna. For instance, this example is given. Early morning, there is Shyam, the small boy who comes and, you know, he got to get up early, he doesn't know what to do, finally Krishna is blind. So he runs from his house, goes to Yashoda's house, and he has a dog, but small boy, he's also, you know, he's apprehensive, doesn't want to enter the house. You know, but he wants to see Krishna, but he doesn't know what to do. He's standing there, one leg, you know, scratching the other leg, not knowing what to do. And then Yashoda sees him, "Hey Vishal, what are you doing there?" "Hari Bol Mataji." "Yeah, come in." And then he runs, he's waiting to be called, because he wants to see Krishna. And then Krishna has just had a shower, or bath, whatever. And she's dressing him. So while she is dressing, Yashoda is dressing him, Mother Yashoda is dressing him, he also helps him dress. He puts the anklet in, he does this and he does that. He's very excited to do all this to Krishna. And what does Krishna do? He takes a flute and knocks him on his head. Top. He does that. And of course, Mother Yashoda is, you know, just like, "Hey, don't do that, it's your friend, you shouldn't do that." But he's not really whacking him, he's just giving him a small pat. But Vishal is very happy that he's getting beaten by his So that is it, shaka. So more than shaka is that is the shaka. Then you got three shakas. These are the big boys. They are saints like Sudama, Sridhar, and all these guys who are like, they felt that they were same age Krishna, and they thought they could do the same thing that Krishna do. They felt, "Hey, there's a demon. Are you going or can I go?" You know, they were that mood. You know, "Are you going to do it? Otherwise, I'm going to do it." If they were just caught, they were equally powerful. They were innocent, but they and Krishna, "No, just wait and no, I'll give you it," or something like that. So that is the mood of this Priya Shaka. Then we have what is known as the Priya Narmas. These were the slightly bigger boys. And they were a bit of a political guys. They were like his political canvases. They will go and talk to one gopi, "Have you spent some time with my Krishna? Oh, you missed everything in life. It's time, you know, you have to spend some time with him. What are you doing? You're wasting your life." So they go canvassing to all the gopis, you know, go and spend time with Krishna. They were doing that. And in that group, there were, people like, I don't have any names. And that was Priyananda. So there is a in the friendship category, there were different kinds of friends and doing things. Next we have what is known as Vatsalya, which you all know, parenthood. Here, Vatsalya is only by father, mother and teacher. Only these three people usually can have this, and that position can have this particular relationship. Now, only thing is, we have to be careful because there are a lot of sentimentalists. I don't know whether you've experienced, I've experienced in my life. Many people have come and told me, "Oh, Jagannath is my son, and Krishna is my grandson," and you know, they have this kind of thing. And usually they're very sentimental people. And then when there is some problem in the temple, then they know. And the relationship also goes, "No more son, no more. Oh, you're not listening to me." You know, so the whole thing comes, and then you say, "Oh, not only the temple is haunted, not only the devotees are haunted, even Jagannath is haunted," they'll say. And so we have to be very careful about this, parenthood, Vatsalya. It should be a very, very highly evolved relationship. And we have to be very careful there. Now the last one is Madhurya. Here I'd like to talk about some experiences that Yashoda and Nanda used to have with Krishna, not the usual one. For instance, Krishna, when he goes out, you know, herding the cows and it's getting late, he's not back. So Yashoda is asking, "Mother, Ismail is asking, what happened, what is happening, where is Krishna, he's not back." And they said, no, he will come, don't worry, he will be there. But the thing is, though he's concerned, concerning Mother Yashoda, he himself is in anxiety. He's worried, what happened to my Krishna. In fact, they call it what is known as the Chandra Sakila. That's the right word. No, it's Chandra Salika, which means outside the house they have got a platform. And what happens is Nanda Maharaj goes up the platform and then he's looking. Where is he? And then finally they can see the dust and the cows are coming. And then they say, Mother, I can see the dust. Oh, they're coming. And then he's still looking, waiting. Till he sees the peacock feather. Rah! Yeah, I can see the peacock feather. He's definitely old. So like that, there was so much of excitement and anxiety, trying to, in that vatsali mood. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, and when she is, what do you call that? Buttermilk, the churning, that's right, churning the buttermilk, churning the milk to get the butter actually. So while this is happening, you know, that's when Krishna is coming to seal the butter. So what Mother Yashoda does is tells the maidservant and the servant, he's going to come, anytime you come, to steal. Now don't look at him, you know, pretend you don't know he's coming. So both of them, what they do is, because he's like on a prowl on the loose, he's coming, and you know, so Krishna comes there, he's watching, his eyes going this way, that way, where's Mother Yashoda, where's the servant, and where's my brother? And then he's planning how to go for it. So while he's planning, he is there, the Mother Yashoda is so much of bliss, looking at this small Krishna, planning to steal the butter. And they pretend, you know, they are also watching him. And this kind of thing. So there is a vatsali mood. Then finally we have madhurya or conjugal. All I can say is these are spiritual realities and it's very difficult to understand. In fact, Rupa Goswami himself gets only a brief description and he doesn't talk anything more. Basically, we are not qualified to talk about this. But just two sentences, there is Vipralamba and Sambhoga. Vipralamba means a separation. That is, you think about Krishna, but you are separated from Krishna. And in Sambhoga means you are in direct contact with Krishna. So the gopis were in direct contact with him. And when he left for Mathura, when he was 16 years, then they were, after that they were thinking of Krishna, but in the mode of Vipralamba. Now these are the various relationships. Now, relationship with God is something very, very unique to the Vedic religion. Of course, there has been some contamination. There is this relationship is only with Krishna. Contamination is that nowadays they talk about relationship with devas and all. The rule is, you only do pujas to devas. Whether it's Ganapati, whether it's Muruga, whether it's Durga, you perform pujas to these people. Relationship is only with Krishna. Mamai Bhakti Jiva Loki, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that you are certainly part, you are a part and parcel of me, and your business is to serve the world. So that is the evidence to say that you are part and parcel. You can only have a relationship with somebody who is part of you or you know, related to you, isn't it? You can have a relationship with your father and mother. You can't have a relationship with your next door neighbor unless something else is happening. So, we have to understand that relationship with Krishna, you can't have a relationship, though people call my father Shiva, or my this whatever, my mother Durga. Mother Durga is alright, that's acceptable. Material nature, she's in charge. But whose name, Krishna says, she's the shadow energy of Lord Krishna. So there is, though that there is some kind of contamination, but relationship is only with Krishna, not brilliant. And this relationship is absent in some other major religions. For instance, in Christianity, it is like, our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. The concept is, he lives in heaven, and the concept is, I pray to you, my business is pray to you, and you give me your, or you give me my daily bread. It's like God, as if he's a sandwich maker, you've got a pile of bread here, and you've got a pile of jam here, and it takes, here, take your bread. Here, take your bread. Or the South Indian concept, maybe, you know, give me my daily idli. Or the Italian might say, give me my daily pizza or pasta or whatever. So it is, otherwise it's like, you know, I ask and your business is to give. God is an order supplier. That's the concept. Now the second thing is in Islam, for instance, there is this concept that Allah is the law giver. He gives the law. And if you don't follow, he'll punish you. So it's very simple, you know. I give you the law, and if you don't follow, I'll punish you. Now that's the concept. Now, nothing wrong. I mean, they make very simple all the major religions: Judaism, Christianity, Islam. They make very simple. There is God, who is all good. There is Satan, who's all bad. In between there is heaven and hell. Now if you perform good deeds, then you go to heaven. But what are the good deeds? It's questionable. And when you do bad, you go to hell. Now everything seems fine. But when you go to hell, you burn in hell forever. So the definition of God is all good. The definition of God is at stake because we are innocent. It's like we have children with you under protection. They're committing so many things. But they're children. And we don't punish them like that. We teach them. We give them some kind of program for them. Tell them it's not good. Here in this case, God just sends us to hell forever. It's okay for us to suffer in hell forever, but it's bad for God. His image. It's the PRO is not good then. You know, somebody must be wrong. I mean, God, if you send everybody to hell, then what a bad God you are. For some silly mistake they did, you are sending them to hell forever? No reformation, no program. Anybody who goes to the prison, what is the prison? The prison is a reformation program. You go there, they tell you why you shouldn't do it, then they'll give you a training, they'll teach you a training, and study out so that you can become a better person. Then nothing, you come here, you see, you enjoy, and then, I'm in hell. I saw everything, and I saw what everybody was doing. So you go to hell. So it is very simplistic, but you know, it is okay for some people. Now, what is the problem when you do this? Now, most importantly, I want to say, the mild is, the impersonal is, I created a big confusion about the relationship. They deny this relationship. That's the worst part of it. Firstly, they deny. That's okay. That's one damage. Okay? No relationship. How can? If I have a relationship, I've got wife, I've got children, and it's hell, why should God also have a relationship? Then you also have hell. So no relationship. They negate it. See? If I have a relationship and I'm in trouble, you have a relationship, you don't have a problem, so God, you don't have a relationship. So that's okay, but that's damage one. What is damage two? Now they bring God to their level. They call God Haritra Narayana, or Sik Narayana, which means a person who is very poor, a person who is very sick, they'll call him Harayana, Harayana, Narayana. They'll bring him into the clay, they'll give him Abhishek, they'll give him food. And the concept is, if you take care of the sick, if you take care of the poor, if you do all this, what happens? You become God. That's the concept. That's the essence, you know, don't worry about it. No, they don't say, yeah, they will say, you go and sit and listen. Ultimately, the whole process is, you become God by taking care of this. See, from where they deny the relationship and then raise it from. Now, you might say, no, but the Christian concept is alright. No, it's not true. For instance, I'll give you a simple example. The sisters of charity or the sisters of disparity, they in Calcutta, what they do, they go and pick up all these poor people. And what is your desire, sir? I like one cigarette. Okay, here, sir, have one cigarette. What is your desire? I want some chicken.
Yes,
give chicken. So this is what they're doing. They're not, so they think, of course, the whole world is, wow, my face up. Look at the sisters. I'm not ridiculing, okay? See, in the class we have to discriminate. We have to know what I'm talking about. Otherwise our devotees also get confused. They will say, Mother Teresa just happened. When Mother Teresa passed away, at the same time since Diana passed away, and one devotee is arguing, they both of them will go to the spiritual world. I said, why? They didn't want to go to the spiritual world. This one was running away with somebody else and you know, and she died and she didn't say I want to go to spiritual. Mother Teresa wanted to go to heaven. So let her go to heaven. She didn't want to go anywhere. She wanted to go with this some so-called person. Why are you so upset that I will have to say that they went? We don't know, obviously we don't know. It's not that we want to be different. But that's not the desire. You have to show some desire where you want to go. Supposing you want to go to Melbourne. Sorry, we are in Melbourne. Supposing you want to go to Sydney, then you have to go to some airport or railway station or bus station or somewhere and try and purchase a ticket to Sydney or something like that. But if you're going to sit in a pub and drink and then you hope to reach in Sydney, it's impossible. You don't need any attempt. Now, see Mother Teresa, she has written in a diary, she lost her faith in the final years. And you know what the final years are? 50 years of her life, the last 50 years, she lost her faith. she was thinking that God really does not exist. She couldn't relate to it.
You know why?
Because when they're doing this, they're doing so much of work, so-called, work. And what happens is, they think that they're doing God's work. And God is not protecting them. They feel, I'm getting into so much of difficulty, and I'm doing not my work, I'm doing your work. Are you there? You're not there. They have lost faith. And so, of course, that one of the reasons, of course, would be no spiritual master. When you have doubts like that, you have to speak to your spiritual master. Secondly, of course, there is no theory of law, law of karma, reincarnation. These things happen for so many reasons. There is no, philosophy that can happen. But it is strange, but that is true, that these things have happened. Yeah. And in fact, it is compared, this person who wrote the article says Mother Teresa's final moment, who she said she did not feel the presence of God, was compared to Jesus Christ's final moments when he's on the cross. It seems I don't know how well this is true, it's too much for me. I don't want to say anything against the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. But it says that there was the feeling of abandonment. That's the word he uses, often uses that word. Now, all this is happening, but so that's Sudama for us. But Sudama has become a very, very important person in her worship. All this is, whatever he saw, he came back, he saw everything, he got everything and all that. But he played a very, very important role in our day-to-day worship. Now, this is the exciting story of Philosophy. Most of you know the story of Philosophy. And I just want to say some things about Philosophy and the story of Sudama and the connections, which will enthuse us further. Now, before these advent of Philosophy, they were all in the spiritual world. There was a time when Krishna was there in the spiritual world. He was having a lovely pastime with Brinda, one of the gopis. So Krishna and Vishwa was being naughty, and he told Sudama, he said, hey, you stand guard, you watch out, you be the sentry. I'm going to have some lila with my girlfriend, but I'm going to scan Radharani might come in the scene. So if she comes, you please warn me. And Sudama said, okay, no worries, mate. Go ahead, I'll take care. So while this is going on, and Radharani actually comes to the scene, and Sudama is, is upset, getting excited, and quickly runs to Radha Krishna and says, hey, she's on her way, better watch out. And as soon as he said that, of course, Krishna boldly, he took the chariot, he ran on the chariot, and he disappeared into the horizon. Radharani comes to the scene and he says, she normally turns around. And she saw that she saw Vrinda there, and then Sudama, she knew what was happening. So she straight away told Vrinda, you betrayed my trust, and how can you do that? And I curse you to take birth on earth and miss Krishna for a while, and like that she cursed him. And Vrinda just took it very, very patiently, and then she cursed Sudama, you are part of this conspiracy, you always do this. And he cursed Sudama, you will be born as an asura, you take birth as an asura on earth, and you suffer and all that kind of thing. And so Sudama too, according to the Quran, Sudama too counter curses Radharani. Do you also take birth on earth? You mean with a family of you become a milkmaid, and then you will not be able to. There Krishna will be there, but you will never marry Krishna. You will marry somebody else, and all the time you will be missing him. And the kind of a curse he gives. So all this is lila, you have to understand. And there are many versions to it. There is even a version that Sudama was actually having a very secret desire for Vrinda, which he should not be doing in the spiritual world. And as a result of that, he was sent down. Now there are various versions. This is because it happens in different cultures. These stories happen, when the stories are different, nothing wrong. They are happening in different days of Brahma. This is why Max Muller, when he says that the stories are different, and then he says, my phalogi, go. That's what he says. He doesn't understand that you don't have to be the same, because it doesn't have to be the same way. These stories will change here and there according to the circumstances. Now, so what happens is, now Vritha is born and Tulasi, she's a princess, the father is King Kushadvaja, that's the name of the father, and the mother is Malvi. From small, she's praying to Vishnu, and when the parents ask, what do you want to do when you go there, I said, I want to marry Vishnu. So initially, when she was small, when she said she wanted to marry Vishnu, it was like a joke, everybody was having fun. But then when she was getting bigger, then she was not changing. She said, no, I'm only marrying Vishnu, I'm not marrying anybody, I'm marrying Vishnu. Then they were worried, you know, then they said, what to do, you know. They said, no way, I only want to marry Vishnu, I'm not marrying. Then they said, all right, in that case, you go to the forest and meditate. She goes to the forest and she's meditating on Brahma, and Brahma appears, and then Brahma says, you know, what do you want and all that. So she says, I want to marry Vishnu. Then Brahma explains to her that in the previous, this the past time, that she's come from there in the spiritual world for a certain purpose, and that you can't marry Vishnu. You are supposed to marry somebody else, but you'll go back to Vishnu. And so she accepts that. And when she accepts that, and then she also, Brahma also gives a boon to her, that, you know, as long as you are chaste, nothing will happen to your husband. Your husband will be always protected. Anyway, that was given. Now, Tulasi now understands that, you know, her pastime is with the Lord, is in the spiritual world, so she's ready for this marriage. So, Shankarachuda, now that is Sudama, he is born as an asura and he's known as Shankarachuda. Now, he is going all over the place and he hears about the beauty of Tulasi and is going around looking for her. He comes to the forest. He meets her and then expresses his love to her, and then of course the usual thing happened, like the Hindi movie, they run around trees and they sing two, three songs, but no villains. They get married very quickly. And then what happens is, of course, he is being an asura. Shankarachuda being an asura, he is all the time tormenting the devas, giving a lot of trouble. So when this torment is unbearable, then Brahma and Shiva, they go to Vishnu and comment or complain to Vishnu that this demon Shankarachuda is creating a lot of problems for them. So Shankarachuda says, sorry, Krishna says, oh yeah, we try to defeat him, we can't defeat him. So Krishna says, actually you can't defeat him because of me. I've given him a talisman which is lying on his neck. That talisman protects. He will never, nobody can ever destroy him. So plan number one, he says, I will go as a brahmana, beg from him and take back the talisman of his head. Plan number two, he gives the spear. Here is a spear, this is a special spear, he gives to Lord Shiva. This spear is the only way you can kill Shankarachuda, otherwise you can't kill him. And he says, what do you call it? Brahma says that he's also given a boon to him because he's also had a, was meditating about Brahma. And that boon, I think, is something to do with the chastity. I'm getting confused. So anyway, what happens is, the next story, next line is the engaging battle. Brahma and Lord Shiva and all the devas, all engaging in battle, including Lord Kartikeya and Ganapati and Ganesh, and all of them are engaged in battle. And it was very difficult to beat him. So, while this was going on, what Krishna does is he becomes a brahmana and goes to Shankarachuda and begs him and says, and so, and Shankarachuda being a very generous person, okay, brahmana, whatever you want, I'll give you. And he says, I want the talisman that you're having on your neck. And he says, sure, and he gives it to him. So, one done. Now, the chastity of Tulasi has to be broken. So, what Krishna does now is, he goes to the abode of Tulasi as Shankarachuda. He takes the form of Shankarachuda and he goes there and then he pretends to be the husband. And then he said, what, you're back from battle and all that? He said, yeah, you know. And while they were doing this, and then Tulasi realized that it may not be the husband. She somehow realized. At the same time, because she lost her chastity, in the battlefield, Lord Shiva kills Sankachana. And then she senses also that the husband has been killed and this is not the husband. And then Krishna immediately shows his real form as Vishnu. Thinking that she always wanted to marry me, Vishnu. Now that I'm Vishnu here, don't worry, you know, it's me. So she'll be happy. But Tulasi was so chaste. She was so angry with Vishnu. She said, no, how can you do that? How can you kill my husband? You're so stone hearted. Your heart is like stone. And we are stone. She cursed it to be stone. And then, of course, Krishna explained that it's all a Leela and you know, I'm doing this. And I said, I'll accept your curse. And I'll be stone, he said. When you know, when everything is happening, when you finish this leela, your body will become the Narmada River, which is now in Nepal, and your body will become the Tulasi shrub, the shrub that's plant Tulasi. Your hand will become the Narmada River, and I'll be there next to the banks of the river as a mountain, and in that bank, there are stones. And there is what is known as some special insects known as Vajrakitas, which they drill holes on the stones. And I'll be there, and accepting your curse, I'll be the source in the Narmada River. And those are the Shalagram Sela. And this way, he glorifies everybody. And when the war is over, they take that Shankachuda, who's in his original form, Sudama, they throw the form into the ocean. And it is said that from Shankachuda, after that, then this Shanka or conch developed, sinus developed, and the shell will be used, or the conch will be used in dairy worship, or most importantly, in our worship. So that's in this particular story how this Sudama is directly related to Krishna, and by association we get this. Most important objects of worship like Tulasi and conch. So basically this is how the thing works. So it is not that the relationship or the service is separate. They're very, very interesting, and anyone who practicing bhakti will have more interest and continuing the service. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments, please?
Yeah. Would you like to tell something about Ramanuja Charya?
Ramanuja, he is from the Sri Sampradaya. He is the founder of the Sri Sampradaya. He is considered to be Ananta Sesh. That is, he is supposed to be incarnation of Ananta Sesh, partial expansion of Balram. So being partial expansion of Balram, he is, of course, he was an expert of the Vedic knowledge. The impersonalist philosophy, Sarirata Bhashya by Shankaracharya, was established at that time, Digvijay, which means victory in all directions. Shankara goes all over India, defeats all philosophy and establishes the impersonalist philosophy, the Mayavadi theory as the philosophy. Of course, he defeated Buddhism to establish his impersonalist theory. Now much later, Ramanujacharya comes in with his the impersonalist theory with his theistic theory. Now, even today, if you want to defeat Mayavadism, you have to read Ramanuja's books to understand the misconception is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's books. Achintya Vedavira, which means simultaneously one and different. Because they are only talking about oneness, they are not talking about difference. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now, the difference too. So, we can very easily, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation, we can explain to them. But to defeat a Mayavadi, we have to read the Ramanujacharya books. Now, very, very interesting, even in this young age, there is this famous, his guru was Mayavadi, and he was translating a verse in the Vedas, and he was saying about there is something, a description about Lord Vishnu, which says that the lotus here of the eye is like lotus or something like that. And whereas his guru was translating that word as red as the monkey's back. You know, and Ramanujan, his guru, and he's doing things, and he was so, you know, he was so hurt. How can you translate like this? You know? I mean, look at that monkey's back and the sun's, you know, I can't see, I'm talking through memory, I can't see the exact words. And then the student, he was crying, and the guru said, what's happening to you? And he said, no, you know, nothing, you know, tell me what is happening. I said, I can't, when I say your translation of the verse, I cannot help but cry. Oh, that means you can explain better. And then he says, yes, and he explains. When he explains, the guru is very worried. Because they, one thing about this person is they can be very, very vicious too. So the guru actually plans to kill him. It's a small boy and they want to kill him. So they have to probably kill him. And then Ramanujan knows about it. And then he escapes. And then from that place he goes to another place. And from then on, then he's waiting for his other guru to give directions, and by the time he reaches the guru, he is already dead, but he has got four things for him to do, which he does. That is the Sri Bhashya of the Brahma Sutras, because defeating the Sarirata Bhashya of Shankaracharya, he writes his book, he establishes the 108 temples, you know, all that whatever the guru wants to do is done. Then in South India, this is another interesting story. What happens is the king becomes a Shaivite. When the king becomes a Shaivite, then he wants the whole country to become Shaiva too. So Shiva Bhakta. So what happens is they know that Ramanujan is a very, very powerful Vaishnava preacher. So they say, convert this fellow. Once you convert Ramanujan, then he's converted the whole of South India. So they send the soldiers to go and get him. When that happens, one of his very, very closest disciples by the name of Kureshi. Now he gets wind of it. So he knows, you know, these guys are coming. So he tells Ramanujan, you better escape. We need you. We can't lose you. You better go. So Ramanujan is reluctant, doesn't want to go, but they all say, you have to go. He said, what will happen here? He said, I will pretend to be you. Anyway, the stupid soldiers won't know. I'll pretend to be you, and he is a grahastha. So I'll pretend to be you, and you know, you go away. So he escapes. Ramanujan escapes. So Kuresh becomes, he says, yes, I am Ramanujan. He is second to the king, South Indian king. And he thinks, okay, you must announce that, you know, Lord Shiva is supreme, and he refuses. And they draw his eyes. Kuresh is both the eyes of wrong. They actually blind him. This will teach you. Then, meanwhile, when Ramanujan escapes, he has gone to what is known as Karnataka today, Melkote. It's a place called Melkote. And he escapes there. And this Melkote, this fellow is all tribals. They were like cannibals, eating humans. He landed in a group like that, and he converted them to become Vaishnavas. They all became such great Vaishnavas there. They consider themselves that, you know, this male court Vaishnava, even today, male court Iyengars call themselves. They consider themselves the most perfect, even more perfect than the origin, the South Indian ones. It's a way, how you could do this, and you were so powerful you could do that. It's similar, like Prabhupada went to the West, and he gave this Vaishnavism to the Westerners, and the Westerners think that they are better Vaishnavas than the Indians. To a certain extent, it's true too, I mean, you know. We can't deny it. But there is a similarity. We can see the similarity. So he went to Melkote and he made them Vaishnavas, and then he came a couple of months later, and the process he came back. Of course, he saw his guru, his disciple was blind, he was very unhappy. And Kuresha was somebody who was very, very humble. He could actually speak to the deities directly. So Ramananda says, go and ask, tell Vishnu you want your sight back. He said, no. He said, yeah, I'll do that. But he doesn't want to ask. He won't ask. Because there's one thing he never asked. So finally, every time Ramananda sees him and his disciple is blind and he's not happy about it. So one day he tells him, okay, you don't want to ask something for me. Can you ask something for me? So he said, yes, sure. There is a position of mind which is like the right words, which is like tarnished, and I want it better, or I want it, improved. Like that, Ramananda will use certain words. A position of mind has been damaged. Can you please repair it for me? So Krishna says, yeah, I can go and tell him. So he thought, some other thing, and he goes and prays to Vishnu. My guru's possession is damaged, please repair it. And he gets back his eyes. Because that is his guru's possession. My disciple is damaged. And he lived 120 years. And he did the same thing that Sankara did, that is Big Vijay. He went all over India and established the faith system. And he defeated impersonalistic philosophy. And then came Madhvacharya much later, and he established his Dvaita philosophy. And then finally, all these four sampradayas, and even the conclusion in the impersonalistic philosophy, was set point by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in Vaishnava, if you go to Sri Vaishnava, they are still confused. They still Sri Vaishnava will go to Sankaracharya with a book and say, can you please find this book? The impersonalist thing has cracked so much in the South, it's unbelievable. But only Mahaprabhu's explanations. So, we have a big job to do. And only thing, if you stop infighting and then we really do the job that we can do, otherwise we'll be wasting our time. See, my understanding is in spiritual world you can have all of us. You can be Santa, you can be, Dasya or Shakya or Vatsalya or even, of course, Madhya. And different places in the spiritual world itself there is Golaka, there is Sankara, there is Vrindavan, and the pastimes are not the same in Golaka and Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, for instance, this is very interesting, I forgot in the class now. Relationship itself, Mahaprabhu explains Krishna has got wives, has got queens, and has got girlfriends. And he says that you cannot, anybody cannot become a wife or a queen. Can't, that category is already finished. Sometimes your mother used to say, I am Krishna's wife. It's not possible. The spouse are all, filled up. You can't become. Sorry to say, yeah, that's true. You can serve as if you're a wife, and that's okay. But even worse is there are some people who are wife and they say, I'm Krishna's widow. That's even worse. To be a widow, the person must be dead. If Krishna is dead, then you have a wife, and then you say, I'm Krishna's widow. I mean, all of these conceptions. I know I'm touching a high devotees, why not? A lot of people won't like all this. But this is you have another concept of faith in the. So, relationship, firstly, I'm telling you again, I will tell them, you can't even be a dasya. You can't even be a servant. We can't even be a servant. The only way we can be a servant is because serving Rupa will tolerate us. I mean, hopefully. You see? There's a devotee who told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if I worship deities, I'm afraid if I worship deities, you'll commit offense. You know what Prabhupada said? If you worship deity, it is offense. Straight. But you put me there and offer it to me, and then you just show I'll be there. In other words, it is like splitting hands in the spiritual world. I mean, we are not even solving our problems in the natural world. You know, I can answer to my satisfaction, but it may not satisfy you. Because so many things to worry about. Even if the misconception, go to our club, all we have a relationship. They said one day they suddenly get up and they say, I know, I'm a gopi now. And they're already doing this, and you know, they're walking differently, and you know, every day he was walking properly, now he's walking like this. I'm a gopi now, you know, and then, you know, I just say, oh, I'm a peacock, you know. They're already walking like a peacock, you know. I have to see. So, these are dangerous. Even your relationship, how do you know what is your spiritual body in the spiritual world? Or this, you know, your internal, you have to discuss such things with your spiritual master. You don't just get up one day in the morning and say, I realize my real position in the spiritual world. And this. And the other thing is very popular, is going to the Bhrigus. Everybody wants to go to the Bhrigus. Prabhu said, you know, in the last world I was the king of Jaipur. Everybody wants to be a prince of some state. Nobody wants to be a monkey or a bullock or something like that. Everybody wants to be a prince somewhere in the last world. And then in Prabhu said, in 4 birth times you go back home. And they get stuck into all this. Firstly, is the Prabhu Devi Krishna? That's my first question. He's not. Does he accept Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. Prabhupada said in this lifetime, let's do this and go back. So why we are here and listening to something? So coming back to Krishna, you know, this is you have to be careful about our dealings in the material world itself. Once we go there, we'll be alright. Hopefully. Anything else?
When Krishna is Sakha Sudama the coward boy, is he the same as Sudama the Vipra?
My understanding is the same. There are other Sudamas. But I remember the Brahmin who offered to the Lord.
I thought you mentioned in the class that this Sudama is the same as his coward boy.
No, the cow, I'm not sure. It could be the same thing. Because the names are so many, there's so many names repeated again and again. You don't know which one is which one. But that is what Sudama who fought along the Pandavas. But he's not that strong. He's a Brahmin boy. He came and learned and went back, and then he was just doing his worship of, you know, mantras. He was just doing that. Yeah, the names were the same. So relationship is, even if you are a grant in the spiritual world, I mean, that's fantastic already, you know, when Krishna runs by and steps on you or something like that, and you're waiting, you're alive, you're conscious, everything is conscious. And, alright, Hare Krishna.